Good morning and welcome to the Apostolic Assembly of Jesus Christ, our online Bible study class in Soldotna, Alaska. And today is August the 30th. It's the last Sunday of the month. I want to give you a reminder that all of our Bible study questions or guides are online at thebodyofjesus.org, and they are connected to the Bible teaching. You choose the Bible teaching online, click on the link details, and that is where the questions or the guides will be. I just wanted to remind you of that in case people had missed where they are posted online. And in case you didn't get to listen to our Wednesday night teaching, I encourage you to do so this week. And we started an addition of new teachers on Wednesdays, which will be on the last Wednesday of the month to begin with. And last Wednesday, our teacher was Emily. Praise God. We are continuing in our Bible study in the Old Testament in the book of 1 Kings chapter 1. And we're on question 5. Question 5 is, was there a promise made that Solomon would succeed David to the throne? Would Bathsheba and Solomon be in danger if Solomon does not succeed David to the throne? Why or why not? And the verses of scripture that go with that question are verses 15 through 21. We'll read those. And Bathsheba went in unto the king into the chamber, and the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite ministered unto the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king. And the king said, what wouldest thou? And she said unto him, my lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And now behold, Adonijah reigneth. And now, my lord the king, thou knowest it not. And he has slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and has called all the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the host. But Solomon thy servant has he not called. And thou, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise it shall come to pass, when my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. Now I want to go back and look at these verses of scripture pretty much one by one. So hold your place, because we will be going back and forth from 1 Kings to other scriptures in the Word of God. Starting at verse 15, again we see the reference to David's health and having to have someone take care of him. And at this time, it looks like David doesn't leave his chamber or his bedroom. And I started thinking about that. And I know from my own personal, what happens in our lives. I wondered if this has happened to others, and I know that it has, where you've been too sick to leave your bed. And before we had online access where we could watch our services, listen to our services, and be a part in that way, I had to depend on my husband to tell me what happened at service when he would come home on the times that I would have to stay home sick. I would ask him about the song service, the teaching, how God's Spirit moved, did anyone receive the Holy Ghost, any visitors. I had all these questions. I wanted to know everything about the service. And we see at this time in David's life that he has to rely on others to tell him what is going on with his people. In verse 16, we see that Bathsheba, it says that she shows obeisance to David. And so I had to look that up. What does that word mean? We don't use that word today, not very often. It's a manifestation of obedience. This is your definition. A manifestation of obedience, an expression of respect, of homage, and it can be shown in a bow or a simple act of courtesy. And this word means homage or respect. It's an action that I believe we are losing in our world today. To show respect to someone for the office they are holding, to show respect for our elders, to show respect for authority, and to show respect to a teacher that is teaching the Word of God. Now, using your spiritual eyes, let's look further into this obeisance and respect, or means respect to another human being. Turn to the New Testament, to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. And again, I ask that you open your spiritual eyes to see the Word of God. Reading in Romans chapter 13, and I'm going to take the verses of Scripture one by one. So reading verse 1, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Now, Paul teaches that every soul, that means everybody. No one is left out, no matter what your position in life is. Every soul should be subject, or that word, to have respect for the higher powers. And higher powers here means governing authorities. You can go and look up the original Hebrew on these words so that you can see the full understanding. And this governing authority is the spiritual or the natural. Because there is no power or authority that God does not have power over. Now let that one sink in. To believe this, you have to be able to put aside your own thoughts and ideas. Paul says that the powers or the authorities are ordained, which means appointed by God. This, again, this respect is not just for spiritual authority, but you can also apply these words to the natural authority. Because it is of God's ordering that there should be human governments and human laws. Laws originally came from God. Without laws, there would be no order, no security, or no peace for mankind. I think you can see that what's happening in our world today. Laws exist for the purpose of good. That's why God created laws. Laws form part of God's order for the government of this world. In this sense, all powers or authorities are from God and they're ordained of God. And in submitting to them, we are submitting to God. Now, let this really sink in, because there's a lot of meat here in these scriptures that Paul is teaching. When he says, let every soul, let every person be subject or have respect unto higher powers or authorities, for there is no power or authority but of God. And the powers or the authority that be ordained, they are ordained or they're appointed by God. That is verse 1. Going on to verse 2, it says, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." Adonijah is resisting the authority. He knew exactly what his father's wishes were. It was not a secret to anyone. So stirring up discord among his brethren and God's people, says, what will his end be? This is what it tells us right here, damnation or judgment. That's the end. And if we follow in Adonijah's footsteps, we'll receive the same. Remember what Proverbs 6:19, and we're not going to go to that, but we've studied these scriptures before in Proverbs chapter 6. But verse 19, it teaches about the things that God hates, a strong word, hates. One of them being sowing discord among the brethren, sowing discord among God's people. And that is what Adonijah was doing. And going on to verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Why do spiritual leaders deserve your respect? Because they've proven themselves. They've walked the walk, just as David did, until he was too sick to be at the front of the line, leading his soldiers, God's people. They deserve our respect, even though they no longer can do the same work that they used to be able to do. Going on in verse 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good, for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. A person working for God is for your good. A teacher that studies and prays to bring you the word of God is for your good. We are a very blessed church, and God has given us many teachers. Paul, Liz, Kirsten, Marty, Emily, and myself up to this date. And I know God is increasing his body with teachers and the other callings that are in the Word of God that he needs you, his people, to be a part of, to be active in. Keep in mind that each teacher has their own style of teaching, and you may prefer one style over the other, and that is okay. But each teacher is due equal respect because it is the Word of God that they are bringing to you from God for your good. What does a spiritual leader use, as it says in this verse, if you do that which is evil or you sin? That's what it is, just sin. Paul calls it evil. So what does a spiritual leader use when they need to bring this to your attention, show you that you're on the wrong path, that the sin is going to destroy you? They use, right here, the sword, the Word of God. We use the same sword, this Word of God, to guide us each day. If we use this sword to guide us each day, then we will not need to be afraid, as Paul says here, of the authority or the powers, as Paul states, powers, our authority. Turning to 1 Peter chapter 2, and verses 13 through 17. Peter also taught about submitting to authorities. Reading 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Submit yourselves, once again, submit, have respect. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Peter teaches us, and he says to submit yourselves to every ordinance, law of man, for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake, submit to the laws of men. He tells them to submit themselves for the sake of Jesus Christ, because Jesus also was once subject to earthly rulers himself. And you know this by studying in the Gospels, what he went through and how he did put himself under the man-made laws of the land, and he set that example for each and every one of us. His honor is at stake in us as his earthly representative. We are representing Jesus Christ here in this earth. How we conduct ourselves reflects back on God. So he says, be subject for the Lord's sake. And again, because civil government is of God. God created the law. And God's word tells us to submit ourselves or obey the laws of the land you live in. Now, it goes without saying that we obey the laws of the land that are not contrary to the word of God. And I think everyone understands this. And this is how the apostles taught it, about submitting to man's laws. You can reference, and we've studied this in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, when Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. That is when it comes to man telling you not to obey the word of God. So it's understood that God's people know God's laws and that they're not going to break them to obey man in whatever man directs. Let's turn back to the Old Testament and 1 Kings chapter 1, reading verses 17 through 19. And in 17 through 19, we see where Bathsheba goes to David, reminds him that he had made a vow. He'd made a promise. And David didn't know about Adonijah trying to set himself up as a king, which shows once again how frail he was. Having to stay home, not knowing what is going on with the people, with his kingdom. And Bathsheba says, David, you made this vow before God that Solomon was to be heir to the throne. Now, we studied this about vows before that are made before God, so I'm only going to touch on this briefly. Turn to Numbers chapter 30, verse 2. And this whole chapter in Numbers is about vows. Reading Numbers chapter 30, verse 2. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. I'm going to give you other scriptures that you can turn to or just put them in your notes, because we have studied these before about vows. But if you would like to look into it further, the other scriptures would be in Leviticus chapter 27, Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 21 through 23, and Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And I'll give those to you again if you're writing them down at home for your notes. The scriptures on vows are Leviticus chapter 27, Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 21 through 23, and Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, along with Numbers chapter 30. So the definition of a vow, and we studied into this before, like I said, is a vow is a voluntary promise to God to do or not to do something. It's pretty simple. David made the vow to God that Solomon would be his heir, and God had chosen Solomon from birth. And we studied this 2 weeks ago, I think it was, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 24 and 25. And we're not going to go back over that again because that was just pretty recent. But you can add those scriptures also to your notes about the birth of Solomon. When God chose Solomon, called him his beloved, and said he loved him from birth. And that's in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 24 and 25. Turn with me now to 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verses 8 through 19. And like I said, 2 weeks ago, we did read some of these scriptures. We read verses 5 through 10 in this chapter about Solomon. But today I want to start with verse 8, where David states what God told him. So reading 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verses 8 through 19. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight." That's why David couldn't build the house for God. "Behold," this is what God told David, "behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon. And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name. He shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he has said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Now, behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold." David was always preparing for this for his son. "And 1,000,000 talents of silver and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workers with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron, there is no number." God blesses abundantly. "Arise therefore and be doing, and the Lord be with thee." David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, "Is not the Lord your God with you? And has he not given you rest on every side? For he has given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord." What beautiful direction David gives to his son, Solomon. In verse 18, or in verse 8, David says that the word of the Lord came to him. Once again, Solomon was chosen from birth by God, and the scriptures show here that from a young age, Solomon was being trained up by his father to become king. God told David that his son Solomon would be a man of rest and that he would build a house for his name. In verse 12, David charges his son to keep the law of the Lord. There's that law again. David repeats the same words to his son that God spoke to him. And David wrote often about keeping the law of the Lord in the book of Psalm. In this chapter, in verse 19, the very last scripture, David says, "Set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God." This was the best advice that he could ever give his son. It is still the best advice we could ever give our children today. And it's the best advice we could give to anyone. So I'm going to give my advice, which is the same, to all my brothers and sisters in God and to the whole world. Set your heart and soul to seek the Lord your God. Turn back to 1 Kings chapter 1 and verses 20 and 21. Where he says, Bathsheba says, "And thou, my Lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou should tell them who shall sit on the throne of my Lord the king after him." And then she goes on and says, "Otherwise, it'll come to pass when my lord the king shall sleep or die that I, Bathsheba, and my son Solomon shall be counted as offenders." The people were waiting to hear what David's will was. Even though Adonijah had already had this great feast and invited everyone except those that were faithful to David and to Solomon, the true heir, all of Israel was still waiting to hear from their king. They understood that David was their leader, most of them. And Bathsheba reminds David that this needs to be taken care of in a quick manner because he was in a very unhealthy condition. He wasn't that old, but he had definite physical problems. So she knew that if Adonijah were to become king, that Bathsheba, Solomon, and anyone that was not a part of Adonijah's team or political party, that they would be gotten rid of. That was just the custom of the day. You get rid of anyone that might be a threat to the throne down the line. So that's just what they did. There's a lot of information in these scriptures that we went through today. And they took me in different directions to look at different things that stood out to me in these verses of scripture. And as I said, I always ask you to look at these scriptures with spiritual eyes. Use those spiritual eyes that God gives you. If you were here today, I would ask you, what did you learn from this question? I would want to know your thoughts on what you found in this question. Because I'm always amazed at how God uses a question that Liz or I have not studied into prior, because we come up with the questions just from reading through the chapter, and then as the month goes on, then we know who's going to have the next question, and then we study into that question. And then God opens it up and starts peeling back layers of his word and guiding us into directions that he wants in his word to be brought to his people. This is not Liz or my thoughts or ideas. This comes from God, from prayer, from studying God's word. So again, I would ask you, what did you learn from this question? And I have to answer that I learned about promises or vows made before God. I learned about showing respect to our elders, and I learned about having respect for authority, natural and spiritual. I pray that you learn the same from God's Word, because we do have that one mind and that one accord with our God. There's so much happening in this world, and I only can tell you what God's Word teaches and how it can supply all your needs, all your wants, all your desires, and give you the comfort and the peace that we all seek for in this everyday life. I love this Word of God. That's the number one desire always has been in my heart from the moment I walked through those doors 40 some years ago. When I heard that Word of God, I wanted to hear more. And I couldn't get enough of it. I was like the sponge. Every time I came to church, I wanted every word that came across the pulpit. I wanted to write it all down, and I tried to. I tried to take really good, thorough notes so I could go back and study that later, because I was a very young saint in God, and I really knew nothing 40-some years ago. But now I do know the Word of God, and it is wrote in my heart, and it's in my head. And I so desire that you have that same love for God's Word, and that you seek God's Word out for yourself, and that you share it with others, because God's Word does have all the answers that you'll ever need for yourself or for anyone else. I'm going to close today, and I would like to ask you all to continue to pray for our Pastor Buck. I know that a message went out and that he fell at his house on Friday, and he had 16 staples put into his head. He is home recuperating now, but definitely he needs your prayers. And I also ask that you pray for our many brothers and sisters that are home sick with failing health and serious health issues. There's many of you. And I don't want you to think that we've forgotten you because we don't see you here at church. We haven't forgotten any one of you. We don't get to see each other very often, even those that do get to come to church, but it's our prayers are a way to reach through to God for you. I'm praying with you each day for God's comfort and peace in our lives. And I look forward to seeing some of you today at 1 p.m., those of you that can be here. And those of you that can't, we'll be thinking of you and we'll be keeping you in our prayers. So take care of one another, reach out to one another, use all mediums, all social mediums that you can, texting, phone calls. Be there for one another. And I love you all dearly, and God bless you all.